And Tiffany, I guess one of the issues with myeloma is that now the target is BCMA. And maybe you can comment a little bit about sort of what the CAR T preparations are that are being used in myeloma and what the situations are. And then we're going to go through sort of what's happening in myeloma and where CAR T fits in. But maybe you can comment a little bit about the type of CAR T preparation, Tiffany.
Most of the trials right now are targeting BCMA, which stands for B-cell maturation antigen. And there's three main trials that are starting to present data: the KARMA trial, the EVOLVE trial, and the CARTITUDE trial. And for KARMA, there's various treatment points of relapse for the KARMA. So there's patients who are at relapse refractory. There's a KARMA study for patients who are relapsing early from stem cell. And so trying to see if we can potentially have not just a higher response rate earlier in the course of the disease, but also a longer progression-free survival for patients. So they're very encouraging. The response rates are about 80 to 90% in all three trials. CR rates are almost up to 30%. And for patients with relapse refractory disease, if we can think about for a single agent drug, the response rates that we're seeing now in myeloma at relapse refractory disease, it's about 30%. And so these trials have significant increase in their response rates as well as in their progression-free survival.
So Nikhil, maybe you can talk a little bit about sort of what's going on, so to speak, in myeloma. We know there's been a lot of recent interest in the issue of the initial upfront treatment of myeloma, and whether the anti-CD38 antibody daratumumab is going to be included in that, if we can go to the slides. Also, the issue of minimal residual disease and where that fits in the management of myeloma, including the role of transplant. Can you talk a little bit, Nikhil, before we sort of get more into where CAR T fits in, kind of where things are nowadays in myeloma, what are some of the key questions out there?
Yes, so what has happened standard in myeloma is a three-drug regimen: proteasome inhibitor, immunomodulator, and dexamethasone, whichever of the three you use. That provides 100% response rate around 40% complete remission. However, the high-risk patients still don't do well. So now we have a fourth drug available, the antibody, daratumumab, and there is another antibody, isatuximab, and there's a third antibody, elotuzumab. And these antibodies have a very significant response even in relapse patients. So now, as it happens in every other setting, we are utilizing antibody upfront in a four-drug regimen. Daratumumab with the three drug that I just described are providing deeper responses, better responses, and to some extent, and that is still not clear, a better control even in high-risk patient population. That is still ongoing research, but we are beginning to have the fourth drug added in the upfront setting. Although standard of care is still three drug, in the higher-risk patient population, for example, we do use a fourth drug to get deeper and better response. And that's where the point comes about deeper response. And deeper response is defined by getting minimal residual negative using 10 to minus 5. So what it means translate into that if we cannot see one myeloma cell in the bone marrow out of 100,000 cell, that's MRD to 10 to minus 5. And we are even going to 10 to minus 6, where we do not even have one myeloma cell in a million. So that's the depth of response we are trying to get. And there's very ample data. We just did a 8,000 patient analysis, which shows that when patients get this MRD negativity, they have a much superior outcome in regards to progression-free survival and also overall survival. So that's where we want to go. And so when we use this three or four top drug in the beginning, what do we do with patients who relapse? The good news in myeloma is that we have at least six more drugs after we have used these four drugs in the beginning to go for even further responses. The caveat, and that's where our discussion on CAR T cells will come, that as we use next line and the next line of treatment, the frequency of response goes down and also the progression-free survival goes down. So when I go to the second line and then the third line, beyond third line, which is where we use CAR T cell, expected responses are in the range of around 30%, 25 to 30%. And PFS ends up being around 3 to 4 months. And so even though we have drug, even though the drugs work, our benefit from those drugs keep on going down. And that's where we need treatments that are much more effective, gets better, deeper response, and also longer response. And to point to the MRD negativity, when we go third line and beyond, very rarely patients get MRD negativity. So being able to get MRD negativity in relapse patient is another important point to keep in mind.
So we want to go back to a case now. Tiffany, you have a 58-year-old lady, and it's interesting. She was diagnosed in 2012. Before you start talking about her, I'm just kind of curious, you know, when you see a new patient with myeloma nowadays and you start to paint a picture for them in terms of what to expect for the future, this lady's already survived 8 years. What are you telling patients nowadays to expect for the typical myeloma scenario, Tiffany?
Yeah, so if they're standard risk disease, we tell them that the median expectancy is about 8 to 10 years, but that we see patients every day that have lived more than 10 years. And I also tell them to don't go Googling on the internet, because the internet will scare them, and because they'll read that their life expectancy is 5 years. So I think that's really important when talking with patients who have, particularly we have standard risk disease. Patients who have high-risk disease, that's a little bit of a different conversation because their prognosis is poor, particularly those patients who have deletion to 17p. And so that's always a really difficult conversation because you want to have hope, but you also want them to have realistic expectations because they're probably not going to be the patient that lives 10 years with their disease. So that's always a really hard conversation to try and juggle with patients. And depending on your patient, you kind of have to tailor that message depending on kind of their personality and how much they want to hear. I've had patients who will say, I don't want to hear anything in the spouse is like, well, I want to know. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I say to the patient, do you want to know this? And if they say no, then I'm like, okay, case is closed. We aren't going to talk about it, because if the patient doesn't want to hear it, then we need to respect that. So that can be a little bit difficult when the caregiver and the patient want to know different types of information.
So let's take a brief look at the two cases that you pulled here also, just to kind of get a flavor of how these cases evolved. And Nikhil, you were talking about the fact that these people often get multiple lines of therapy. And Tiffany, it looks like this patient also has received multiple different combinations. What was her situation when she was considered for the CAR T therapy?
Yeah, so she had had several multiple lines of therapy. I think she was at 8 prior lines of therapy. She was relapsing. And so we had talked to her previously. We had been talking to her about CAR T-cell just because we knew that we were going to start running out of treatment options. And so we really wanted to consider CAR T-cell. And so when a clinical trial slot opened up, she jumped into it. She was like, okay, she lives out of state. She's like, I'll come. I will stay as long as I need to in Houston. It's not a problem. Very enthusiastic about it. And so she received her leukodepletion chemotherapy outpatient and then was admitted for the CAR T-cell therapy. She had only a minimal response. However, she was off therapy for 6 months. This was last year that she had our CAR T, so it was the first time in 7 years that she was off therapy. And so while she didn't have a great response during that time, she also wasn't on any therapy. And so that was good for her. She did develop these diffuse arthralgias about 6 weeks post CAR T cell infusion. And so we actually had her see rheumatology, and they ordered like a Medrol dose pack, and we're attributing it to the CAR T because she had never had this before. It was the only thing that had changed, resolved with the steroids, and has not recurred since then.
Kind of curious, Bettina, have you ever seen arthralgias in a patient with CAR T?
That's interesting. Nobody jumps to mind off the top of my head. We have had some patients just overall that have had, for example, one of our ALL patients did have some whole body aches, but it was difficult because she had also had complaints like that before she got the cell infusion. So then after the cell infusion, it's difficult to just attribute it to that.
So here's another case of a patient actually had a great response. Tiffany, a 62-year-old man, what happened there?
Yeah, so he actually had a translocation 14-16 at the time he was diagnosed. He was high risk myeloma, received bortezomib, lenalidomide, dexamethasone, went on to receive an autologous stem cell transplant, and was placed on lenalidomide maintenance, and unfortunately progressed after 4 months. He had received DARA combinations with very short remission time. And so then in December of 2019, he went on a clinical trial with BB2121. He did develop fevers, rigors, and wheezing. He was placed on oxygen. He was found to have grade 2 CRS, received acetaminophen and nebulizer treatments, and his CRS resolved after 2 days. But he achieved a CR, and he remains in a CR 6 months post his CAR-T. He did have elevation of his C-reactive protein and ferritin, which is to be expected, but he's done really well. And you can see by his graph, this was really the first time he achieved that type of response.
And I was curious about these. We were chatting, Bettina, and you were telling me about your cases. You were bringing up the fact that you look at assays such as C-reactive protein and ferritin as part of managing these patients. How do you interpret that? Where does that fit in?
Yeah, so at our center, it's important for us to start monitoring these before they get the cell infusion so we have a good baseline, because often these patients will have elevations in both their C-reactive protein and their ferritin, independent of the CAR T cells. But when they start to have toxicities, especially fevers and other signs and symptoms of cytokine release, if we're seeing a pretty significant uptick in those markers, we have a better sense of the possibility that it may be cell infusion related, although they can also be elevated in infection. But we're monitoring the CRP very closely, as well as the ferritin. And the ferritin we also monitor in case they may be developing HLH, which has been a development that we've seen in multiple patients.
Bettina, you have the opportunity to see people getting CAR-T for a variety of reasons. You know, we're talking about different cancers here. The thought that maybe the myeloma preparations, they don't have as much toxicity. Any sort of global observations you've made in terms of sort of the level of toxicity you see in myeloma versus ALL versus lymphoma, for example?
Yeah, you know, I will agree that on average, the myeloma patients are not having the level of toxicities we've seen in the other diseases. However, that being said, at my center, we have had 2 very sick myeloma patients on trial getting CAR T cell therapy. The lymphoma patients all are a pretty average amount of toxicity. We honestly do not have too many of them right now that end up in our ICU. I would say that our sickest ones are usually the ALL patients at our center.
The 2 patients with myeloma that had problems, was that CRS, neurotoxicity? What happened there?
Both of them had a cluster of a lot of things go wrong at the same time. One of them had multi-system organ failure. He had kidney failure, a very severe infection. He had grade 4 cytokine release. He was intubated and sedated, so it was difficult to assess his mental status during that time, but he ultimately succumbed to a pretty serious infection.
So, Nikhil, you showed this slide here of a patient you took care of who got CAR-T. Can you tell us the story behind it?
Yeah, so when we talk about quality of life, this is a good example. So this patient was multiply treated. He had more than 8 lines of treatment with a high-risk disease and relapse. Was entered on this study earlier on. This was almost 2.5-3 years ago. And received the same BB2121 CAR-T. As you can see in this slide, on day 14, the bone marrow had totally cleared. The responses are very, very fast. Median time to response is 1 month. And we usually, by day 10, when patients are getting ready to be discharged, there's a clear evidence of response as by measuring light chain and other proteins. In her case, also in 1 month, the PET CT scan totally normalized. So again, those lesions disappeared within a month. And the picture on the left is what she sent me 3 months after discharge, just amplifying and telling us that the quality of life improves. And there was actually a presentation at ASCO on quality of life following CAR T cells in myeloma. And it clearly showed that all the measures that we look for in quality of life, from fatigue to pain and general well-being, they all improved as a global phenomenon for all the patients put together in the KARMA study. But also, if you look at proportion of patients with fatigue or improvement in fatigue, almost doubled from 30-35% to 70% once they were recovered from their side effects. So yes, side effects are there. And as described very well, they are a little less in myeloma. But once they overcome the side effect, their general quality of life significantly improves. They get back to their work. And very important point in myeloma, which has also been stressed by Tiffany, is that patients at the present time do not get anything. So they get 1-shot treatment and they do not get anything. That's something we need to work on, because in myeloma, we need maintenance treatment. So we are developing some of those efforts to sustain the good remission we get. But currently, they are without any treatment and their quality of life is outstanding.
Myeloma people, you know, have this idea of continuous therapy, but I think it's a good point that Tiffany made about the fact that it's great for these people getting continuous therapy over 8 or 10 years to give them a little bit of a break. Sattva, we had a question in the chat room earlier I want to bring up, and we get this question not only about CAR T, but also about checkpoint inhibitors, which is the issue of using corticosteroids. We know they can be helpful with some of these problems, including cytokine release, but the question is it sort of having a negative effect on the anti-tumor benefit that you're seeing? Any comment on that, Sattva?
Yes, so I think you heard earlier that one of the critical cytokines that seem to be important for cytokine release syndrome is IL-6. So that's what led to the use of anti-IL-6 therapy. But what's been observed in multiple trials across multiple different CAR T products is that there are many different cytokines that are associated with both cytokine release syndrome and neurological toxicity. And this is when the inflammation gets activated, it's really a cascade that gets activated. So earlier on, it's mainly the IL-1 and IL-6 are the key players. But after a few more days, there are a host of other cytokines and chemokines that get produced in the body as well. So when anti-IL-6 therapy alone does not work, one may need to use something like corticosteroids, because corticosteroids can cause broad immune suppression. They suppress multiple different immune cells, including T cells, macrophages, B cells, NK cells. In addition, they suppress multiple different cytokines and chemokines. When patients have severe toxicity that's not being controlled with tocilizumab, we generally use corticosteroids. But as was mentioned by Dr. Love, corticosteroids can have a negative effect on the T cells. They suppress the function of T cells as well as the proliferation of the T cells. And they can also be cytotoxic, meaning they can kill the T cells. So obviously, we don't want that. But what's been observed in the trials is that if we use corticosteroids for severe toxicity, they don't seem to have a harmful effect. Because, and the reason why we think that is the case is the patients who get the more severe toxicity, they have very huge amplification of their CAR T cell numbers. So what the corticosteroids do is to temporarily dampen that response to be able to manage the side effects. But we do definitely need much more studies to look at the effect of corticosteroids on clinical outcomes. We recently presented an abstract at ASCO where we looked at the cumulative dose of corticosteroids, and we found that there seems to be a difference, especially in the patients who have received very high cumulative dose of steroids. So I think there's a lot more research that needs to be done, and there's definitely other alternative agents to overcome toxicities need to be developed. And one of the agents that's being looked at that looked very promising in preclinical models is anti-IL-1 therapy or anakinra. And anakinra is now being used as a third agent again for toxicity management at a number of different centers, although this is considered off-label use at this point. And clinical trials have recently been initiated to test it more formally.
We're going to talk about probably the most common situation where you're going to hear about a patient getting CAR T therapy, specifically diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. Myeloma, right now, the only way you can get CAR T therapy is on a clinical trial because none of these preparations are approved. But now we're going to talk about lymphoma and ALL. Well, we do have approved therapies. And